Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, the righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath.
Oh, Frank
Lucas. You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Devil gon' win.
Nope.
Tryna make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yep.
All right. Shalom and good morning. Baruch Kwatsawab. To the 12 tribes worldwide, greetings. To the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and Mexicans. To the 12 lost tribes in the nation of Israel that have been scattered throughout North, Central, South America to the four corners of the earth, greetings. Shalom. You reached another episode of ISBHPK Bible Talk. My name is Mashaba. I am one of the teachers. Our ISBHPK Bible Talk podcast. You can listen to us live Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to about noon, Texas time or Central Standard Time. Again, that's Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to about 12 noon, Monday through Thursday. And then coming back again on Friday nights with the Brother Bonabod has Friday Night Bible Breakdowns with the Brother Bonabod. And that's every Friday night from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time right here at ISBHBK Bible Talk. The phone number when the show is aired live, when the show is on live, feel free to call in at area code 646-668-2568. Again, feel free to call in live at area code 646-668-2568. That's Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to about 12 noon, Central Standard Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com. You can also log on to our live show, our live episode, through a web browser by logging on at www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. Once you pull the webpage up, go to the search box, type in Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A. That'll bring you to our episode page, going all the way back from the latest or the newest episodes that we've done, going all the way back to our very first one, February 28th, 2010, so long time ago. You can find our library of shows or the live episode that might be airing live at that particular time. That's one way to keep in touch with us. Or if you'd like to go through any of our library or our catalog of shows that we've done, you can check us out at ISBHBK Bible Talk on iHeartRadio podcast, on Apple iTunes podcast, on Google podcast, and Podcast Addict. Stay in touch with the ISBHBK Bible Talk podcast. Excuse me. The ISBHBK has a network of schools across America. Our school here in San Antonio is located at 4444 Walsham, suite number 201, San Antonio, Texas, 78218. And they have classes every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., and you can view those classes live. If you can't make it to the classroom, you can view those classes live on ISBHBK San Antonio. Again, that's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., and then again on Saturday mornings, you catch a Sabbath service every Saturday morning starting at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time. To help our school here in San Antonio, we ask that you please check out Eastern Fragrances and On the Mark Moving. Both locations are located at Rolling Gold Mall. Eastern Fragrances provides you with the greatest in perfume, cologne, and incense oils. Located in front of Shoe Palace at in Rolling Gold Mall on the first floor in between the American Cooking Company and the elevators going upstairs to the food court. Check out Eastern Fragrances and understand that any proceeds, any products purchased through Eastern Fragrances help support and keep the school going here in San Antonio, as well as provide employment opportunities for individuals here in San Antonio. The other business that has been established to help keep the school going here in San Antonio is On the Mark Moving. On the Mark Moving is a moving company that is licensed, insured, and bonded, and that will secure the greatest and most quality move. If you need it, they can provide it. No job's too big, no job's too small. From an apartment, an office, a house, a storage. If you got to move stuff from the attic down to the garage, from the garage to the attic, check out On the Mark Moving. Their prices are phenomenal, and you're going to get some real quality work. That's why it's called On the Mark Moving. And if you need help with packing, for a move, they have a service, again, the best prices available around that will help you pack your items, whatever it is you have going on, with the most professional, utmost, and safety quality around. Check out On the Mark Moving. And by supporting Eastern Fragrances and On the Mark Moving, you're supporting the school here in San Antonio. For our other schools, we ask you to log on to isbhbk.com. That's isbhbk.com. For our school location in Houston, in Norfolk, and in Rochester. Our school in Houston is located at 231 FM Road 1092 in Stafford, Texas, 77477 being the address there. You can view their classes every Monday and Wednesday at ISBHBK Houston. Every Monday and Wednesday at ISBHBK Houston on YouTube from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. And again on Fridays from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And you can also log on Saturday mornings and catch this Sabbath service as well. So, Saturday morning starting at 10 a.m. Visit the school, and for any donations you'd like to help out, to keep our schools going in Houston, Rochester, or Norfolk, we ask you to please log on to isbhbk.com, isbhbk.com, where you'll find links to Chosen Creation, Sweet Ambiance, and Israelware. All these are provided services and products provided to help you as a Hebrew Israelite from your home decor or custom-made Hebrew Israelite jewelry to custom fragrances as well as skincare products, as well as custom handmade soaps, custom handmade lotions, custom handmade beard oils and body oils, custom homemade candles with Sweet Ambiance. And for your dress needs, for your garments, for men, women, and children, there's Israelware. Get your Hebrew garment game up. Check out Israelware by going to isbhbk.com website. And again, and supporting any one of those businesses, you help in keeping the schools running in Houston, in Norfolk, and in Rochester. Let me see here. For our school in Norfolk, the school location is located at 2610 Granby Street, Norfolk, Virginia, 23517. And they have classes. You can view their classes every Tuesday and Thursday on Facebook Live, under isbhbk.com. Or the Israel School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge on Facebook every Tuesday and Thursday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Or you can log on to ISBHBK Norfolk every Friday night starting from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Again, Eastern Standard Time. And then catch the Sabbath ceremony, Sabbath service every Saturday on YouTube as well starting at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time for our school there in Norfolk. For our school in Rochester, our school in Rochester is located at 1600 Lyle Avenue, Suite Number 1A, Rochester, New York, 14606. Bring our address there. If you'd like to check our classes in Rochester, we ask that you please log on to ISBHBK Rochester, ISBHBK Rochester on YouTube every Tuesday and Thursday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and come back again on Saturdays starting at 10 a.m. If you happen to be in the Albuquerque area, this is the brother Aisha White Desire and the brother Deliad up there in Albuquerque. But you can reach out to the brother Aisha White Desire. You let him congregate. If you have any biblical questions, any counseling questions you might need, any mentorship you might need, reach out to the brother Aisha White Desire at area code 505-218-4218. He's a fantastic brother. He's a caring brother. He's a giving brother. He's a loving brother. Check out give brother Aisha White Desire a call at 505-218-4218. And then we also ask, if you're in the San Antonio area, to please support EO Pure Therapy. EO Pure Therapy is located on the first floor of the mall, directly diagonal from the H&M clothing store or department store, clothing store, in the JCPenney wing of the mall. EO Pure Therapy provides the latest, and they specialize in CBD oil creams, gummies, tinctures, and roll-ons, as well as perfume and cologne fragrances that you can get in not only a roll-on or in an oil dispenser for men, women, and children for your bodies, but you can also get a custom handmade soap with the fragrance of your choice. A custom handmade soap, a custom handmade lotion, specific design for you with a fragrance of your choosing, or they can create one for you. Check out EO Pure Therapy on the first floor of the mall, located at Rolling Oaks Mall, and ask for Gabar Kawab. Right? When you go there, ask for Brother Gabar Kawab, and he will definitely, if you need a customized fragrance, any of the people there, but they will definitely make sure that you get a fragrance for the mind, body, and soul, for the house, for the car, wherever you need something to smell good, feel good, smell good, check them out. And they also have another thing they specialize in with EO Pure Therapy is bath bombs and bath salts. Again, you can even get a custom-made bath salt or bath bomb with the fragrance of your choice, but also infused with CBD oil. All right? They really do a great job over there at EOP Therapy. So please check them out again. And proceeds from that, you'll help keep the EO Pure Therapy Event Center going, where we have classes every Sunday, Paleo-Hebrew class, every Sunday at the EO Pure Therapy Event Center from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. So proceeds, you help keep the Event Center going as well. We ask you to check that out and let them know that Mashaba sent you or Gabar Kua sent you, and they'll definitely take care of all your needs. All right? At this time, I'd like to send up prayers and offer up in prayer, the scripture says, esteem others better than yourself. If there's going to be any comfort, any consolation, any mercy, any love of comfort, it says, esteem others better than yourself. So one thing, and keeping that in mind, one thing that we started here with our shows is to have a prayer list, all right? That we have a list of names that we want to we ask everybody that in your private time when you're offering the prayers for everybody, please add the following names to your prayers. At the most time, I watch over, bless, and heal each of the following people. So kind of in jumping it off, but please, in your own personal time, please add these names to your prayers as well. Father, when the Most High, in the name of Christ, please listen to us now, right now. Father, please send Michael and the holy angels to watch over, bless, heal, to protect, to strengthen, to help, to guide. And please take away all evil people, all evil spirits, all sicknesses, all God, all malice. In the name of Christ, we ask you, Father, in all these things, amen. So, Father, we ask that you please, again, send Michael and the holy angels to watch over, bless, and heal, and protect, and strengthen, to help, and guide. And please take away all evil people, all evil spirits, all sicknesses, all God, all malice from Zahawam Makai and his wife, Waridaya, and their family. Brother John Spann, Miss Catherine, Ma Duke, Sazapa's mother, Becky and Darryl, the entire Lovett family, the Coates family, the entire Coates family, Kazakia and his family, Julius Washana, the sister Anagashia, the brother Thawam Mayam in Houston, West Beverly, brother Thawam here in San Antonio, Ayala Banath Banyamian, the wife of Wana Iyer, special needs children, Father, Cece, the daughter of Tazapa and his wife Arakaya, Isalee, the daughter of Kabakawa and Anagashia, and Aliyah, the daughter of Badabai the Quadashaya. The brother Tazapa, and he's about to have some procedures done. The brother Kudash Kabar, the brother Yanamathan, the brother Asham Kudash, the brother Gabar Gad, there in Florida. His mother-in-law, Ruthie Mae Johnson. And Father, we ask that you also please watch over Blessing Hill and help you recover your sister Quadashaya. We ask you, Father, in the name of your son Yahweh Shai, that all praise, all glory, all power is you and your son Yahweh Shai. And again, we ask you in Yahweh Shai's name for all these things. Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, so that's the prayer requests are going out. And last but not least, if you'd like to help support the ISBHBK Bible Talk podcast, we do accept donations at Cash App, on Cash App, at Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, on Cash App, or Google Wallet at Mashaba575@gmail.com. That's M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A 575@gmail.com. If you'd like to help support the ISBHBK Bible Talk podcast. All right? So with that, brothers and sisters, thank you all for that. Now I got these announcements out the way. I can close this window down. All right. what we started a series, brother and sister, and I listened to the last show, and I forgive me for being so long-winded and running off at the mouth with the To Unite Christ Part 4. I got long-winded. I went almost totally opposite or hypocritical of why the show is named ISBHBK Bible Talk. The Bible is supposed to be doing most of the talking. The Bible, we want more of the scriptures to talk. And last series 4, Part 4, I got long-winded. So forgive me for that. So I'm going to take a quick intermission right now. And when we come back, we're going to go into Part 5, which really shouldn't be Part 4. But we're going to go to Part 5 of To Deny Christ. So quick intermission. And when I come back, we're going to get into this class. It is my intent that we're definitely going to let more of the scriptures do the talking and more of the scriptures to be read when we come back. So please stay tuned. Use this time, please, to reach out to anybody. Let them know the show has started, class has started. If you want to text anybody or send an email to anyone, it would be appreciated. And we'll be back right after this quick intermission.
right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today. All right, all right, all right. You're going to learn today.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Well, we're back, we're back, we're back. Thank you very much for being patient and staying along with us. All right, brother, getting into this series that we're dealing with, let me slow down. And dealing with this topic as far as denying Christ and of denying Christ, some of the things that we are going into are going to seem kind of morbid. Have you been listening, keeping up with the series? It is kind of morbid because it's paying a true reality about what we're facing, what we're dealing with, and what we're going to be coming into as believers. As we're coming into the knowledge of understanding that we are the Hebrew Israelites and what that actually means, what's the benefit of knowing or us finding out now that we are the Hebrew Israelites? Well, if we understand biblical history, we know that Moses did lead the children of Israel out of Egypt during the time of the Egyptian Empire in ancient Egypt. And that we spent the 40 years in the wilderness after being freed from the slavery, the oppression, the rigors, the atrocities of Egypt. We spent 40 years in the wilderness, and then under Joshua's tutelage and shepherdship, we possessed and had the conquest of the land of Canaan, or the land of milk and honey. And we came into our possession as the 12 tribes of Israel, and that land became known now as the land of Israel because now we were living there. No, we were now possessors of it. There was a covenant that was established between the Lord God, the Most High, and the nation of Israel at Mount Sinai. That covenant was that if the Israelites would obey God and have no other gods for him, the Ten Commandments, that God would be our God, the Most High would be our God, and we would be his people. And we have vouched, or almost like wedding vows to one another from the Lord God, that he would be our God if we obeyed him. And on the Israelite side, that, yeah, upon our obedience, God would be our only God. Well, the Israelites, we broke that covenant. All right? We broke that covenant. God never broke his word. God never stopped. But the Israelites, we kept breaking that covenant. We kept breaking that covenant. As a consequence of that, there were certain consequences and curses that we as Israelites had to endure. And one of the main ones is that we would forget our nationality, that we would forget who the hell we are. And that according to Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 37, we would be called by other names. Instead of being known as Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Simeon, Zebulun, Ephraim, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Asher, and Naphtali, which is our ethnicity of who we truly are, we would forget who we are, and we'd be called by other names. Hence, we have so-called Negroes, so-called West Indians, Puerto Ricans, North American Indians, Timor Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and so-called Mexicans here in North, Central, and South America. That upon the age of conquest from the Spaniards, coming from starting with Christopher Columbus, and sitting until this day, and with the transatlantic slave trade, we've been given titles and given names and labels that are misguided and misleading to who we actually are. But that was all prophesied by the Most High, that we have to endure those things because of our disobedience to God, because of our sins. That was going to be one of the punishments that we would have to endure and had to go through. But through the death of Christ, through the death and example of Jesus Christ, that now afforded the Israelites as being sinners, the whole nation being sinners, that now we would have the opportunity at repentance, that we was going to go through our punishments because we deserved it, but then there's going to be a time because of what Christ did that we're going to be able to return back to our nationality, return back to our identity, and now have a chance to repent, and to reflect and repent on look at what we've gone through because of our sins as the nation of Israel, as the children of Israel. Look at how we've gone from the land of milk and honey, when we came out of Egypt, we went from the land of milk and honey, eventually getting kicked out of the promised land and being spread throughout the four corners of the earth and becoming the original, if it was there in Europe and Asia, becoming the original Anglo-Saxons, becoming the original Anglos, becoming the original Iberians of Spain, becoming the original Visigoths and Goths, the Israelites were the original Germans, the original Saxons, the original people of, I guess the original, but becoming the empires of Russia, establishing empires such as Great Britain, England, and Spain, establishing St. Petersburg Square, going like, you know, west and east. Now going south, establishing some of the great countries, empires of in Ghana, in Timbuktu, and other places in Africa, coming to the Americas and becoming the Aztecs, the Incas, and the great empires of the North American Indians here in North America, the five civilized nations, what have you. Yeah, we would be kicked out of the promised land. And that we would go through these punishments, and we would establish these nations, we would establish these cities, but they would fall. We would establish these empires, these civilizations, but they would fall because of our disobedience, because of our sins. But it would come to the point where now, again, as I was saying, because of Christ's sacrifice, that we would be given the chance to repent. But we'd have to find out who we are, and to find out again that we are the Israelites, and for all the things that we have started as Israelites and have failed and have come to naught because of our disobedience to God, because of our sins to God, then now we have a chance to repent and now be delivered through what the world knows as Armageddon, and now be delivered through World War III, be delivered and Christ returning and establishing the kingdom to Israel, establishing the kingdom to the Israelites, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So the significance of that is great in us now waking up and finding out we're the Israelites and start to do the acts of repentance, start to actually do what it takes to repent as a nation for the things that we did do against God, that the Israelites did against God. In that process, in that journey, in the kingdom being reestablished back to the Israelites, being given back to us purely by the grace and mercy of the Most High and of Jesus Christ, that in that journey, there's going to be things we're going to still go through. There's going to be some persecutions. There's going to be some afflictions. There's going to be some infirmities. There's going to be a word of hell getting back. I'm just saying like that. It's going to be some real trials for us getting back and things getting established. So with that being said, I just want to read real quick, St. John chapter 16 and verse 1. The book of St. John chapter 16 and verse 1. Well, Christ said this, all right? This is Christ saying this. These are the words of Christ in red. That in St. John 16, verse 1, Christ tells us this. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. That one thing we know about Christ, especially when we go to Revelations, and or it tells us, Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, that Christ is the spirit of, that the spirit of Christ is the spirit of prophecy. That the testimony of Christ, I'm sorry, the testimony of Christ, you're dealing with the spirit of prophecy. That if you're really dealing with Jesus Christ, you're dealing with prophecy, all right? That he's going to let us know things that are going to happen before they happen. That's part of the power of the Most High. That's part of the power of God. Not the only power of God, but part of the power of God is that he can call his shot and can't nobody change it. He can call and say what's going to happen, and though it might take 2,000 years, though it might take 4,000 years, ain't nothing going to stop what he says is going to happen. That nobody is above him that's going to come back and veto, check, stop, filibuster what he's got going on. It's just impossible. It's not going to happen. All right? That his word, if he says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So in dealing with Christ and the Spirit and his testimony, he's telling us here in St. John 16 and 1, once again, these things have I spoken to you that you should not be offended. That he's going to give the warning. He's going to let us know things are going to happen before it happens so we don't get offended and as things happen, it'd be real easy for us to take the mindset of, well, nobody told me. Well, I didn't know it was going to be like this. Why is it so hard? Why is it so difficult? Why is this happening? That if we understand the power, part of the power of Christ is the prophecies. Part of the power of Christ is the prophecies that he gives us and he shared with us, that he shares with us. Give me 1 second, but I'm telling you to enlarge the screen real quick. That's part of the power of Christ, all right? Not the only power, but that is part of the power of Christ, that he's going to tell us what's going to happen before it happens, all right? When we read St. John chapter 16 and verse 4, right? St. John chapter 16 verse 4, again, the words of Christ in red, this is what Christ says. He tells us again, by these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. So he said, again, Christ is telling us, before things happen, so as they happen, we don't get offended. Or we don't get caught so totally off guard that we don't know what to do, or that we panic. Or, as it says, we get offended. That I didn't know following you, Christ, or obeying you by doing what you want done, that I was going to suffer these type of things. That I was going to go through these type of things. When we read St. John chapter 15, verse 11. St. John chapter 15, verse 11. It says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, I know a lot of people will read this scripture, and they see the words joy, and that your joy might be full. And we want to take kind of a selfish look or perspective at this scripture right here. But if we keep it in context with everything that Christ is talking about, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you. I'm telling you what's going to happen. I'm telling you what's going to happen before it happens, so that now you have the joy that, you know, Christ did tell us about this, so let's continue. Christ told us this bump in the road was going to happen. He told us this was going to happen. That's supposed to be a joy that, wow, Christ cared enough to tell us what's going to happen before it happens. And that our joy might be full in, wow, he really is our Lord. He really is our Savior. He really is the Prince of Peace, that he did. He warned us about this before it happened. And then we have the example of how he lived and what he did, that when it happened to him, he left us an example. So he does love us. He does care about us. This ain't talking about that whatever joy I have, that Christ is giving me my own personal joy. Because in this present world today, you have pedophiles. You have pedophiles who, grown-ass men, who are literally in love and have, they don't even call it a sexual, they're trying to get it so it's not even a sexual perversion, but it is a love that they have of minors. And that is their joy to share their love with minors. I'm not talking about love for sports. I ain't talking about a love for the arts and for music. I'm talking about a physical, physical intimacy. That's the joy of a pedophile, to be physically intimate with a minor. It's that Christ had come to fulfill that type of joy. And I'm using that as an example for a far perversion, an extreme perversion. Then come back to just a person. You just want to fulfill your joy, what makes you feel good. The Aleister Crowley quote that Jay-Z was wearing on one of his sweatshirts a couple of years back, that says, the only law is do what thou wilt. That is one of the laws, one of the first laws of Satanism. Do what you want. Do as thou wilt. If it makes you feel good, if it makes you happy, do it. No holds barred. The sky's the limit. Don't let nobody hold you back. That's one of the first tenets of Satanism. Do for you. So that's not the joy that Christ is talking about here in St. John chapter 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. That we have a joy of now going through what we're going through because it makes Christ happy. Because, and we have a joy that Christ told us this will happen, so let's endure. Let's keep going. He told us it's going to happen. He showed us it was going to happen. He went through it first. If we follow his example, we can make it also. As opposed to just being offended and be like, why I got to go through this? I've been through so much in my life already. I've had to face so many obstacles and so many things that now I'm looking for mine, and I'm having to face this now. I'm having to face that now. I got to keep giving. We're supposed to have a joy that we're actually being told and shown how to follow the steps of Christ. That when Christ suffered and told us he's going to suffer, what was the reward he got for going through the suffering and when he went through it? He's sitting on the right hand of the power of the Most High. And he said that where I am, I want you to be there also. Follow me and you'll sit up here with me. You'll sit up here with me, fulfilling my joy. But he told us these things before. All right? Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. And it says, blessed is, Matthew chapter 11, verse 6. It says, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. That as in following Christ, being true Christians, and following in his footsteps, that there's going to be certain things that we go through. And he told us about it first. He's telling us about it. You're going to go through these things. These things are going to happen. Again, so when it does happen, that you're not offended to where now I'm not dealing with this. I didn't sign up for this. This ain't what it's supposed to be about. When we go to now, jump to Matthew chapter 13, verse 21. When we go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 21, this is what it says. Again, the words of Christ in red, so this is Christ speaking, or who we see in the Paleo-Hebrew, Yahweh Shai speaking. Matthew chapter 13, verse 21. Yet hath he not root in himself, but doeth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. So again, for Christ to tell us that things are going to happen, there's going to be a lot of individuals, a lot of Israelites, a lot of people, a lot of believers that they really aren't taking the words of Christ to heart. They're really not, it's really just a surface, just skimming over things and not really understanding or locking in to what it really means to be a follower of Christ, to be a Christian, to be a biblical Christian. Because it's not really taking the heart. It says a person will have no root in themselves. They'll endure for a while, but listen, it says, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by they're offended. More and more and more they get offended because they didn't take the words of Christ serious. A person did not take the words of Christ serious about what we're going to be facing being his followers. And it's through that offense, brothers and sisters, that we start to deny Christ. We start to deny what he went through, what he did, how he lived, and that what his followers are going to have to go through. Because of, again, the tribulation or the persecution that's going to arise because of the word. That a person will get offended, and now we're going to start to deny Christ. But I'm going to start denying that I got to go through this type of suffering. That I can't deal with this rejection. I can't deal with since I started following the Bible and I'm doing what the scripture says, I'm following what Christ did, that I'm catching more heat. I'm catching more smoke. Nah, this ain't for me. This ain't for me. But again, Christ told us about these things. All right, Christ told us about these things. So I just want, again, just kind of preface that as we continue on with this class. That's a summary of some of the things not even a summary. That's a cap on some of the things that we've been going over in this series to deny Christ. Right? Now it's a 5-part series to deny Christ. That there's going to be certain, that he keeps telling us there's going to be certain things we're going to have to endure. There's going to be certain things that we're going to have to go through as being his followers, as being the true biblical Christians. All right. From there, let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26 now. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10 and we're going to start at verse 26. The book of Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. So not only has Christ been warning us about not to be offended or letting us know, I'm telling these things so that when it happens, you're not going to be offended. Keeping with that mindset, now we're in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. And he says, fear them not, therefore. Because above this in this chapter, and we covered this in other parts of the series, is talking about how the times have come that for following Christ, people are going to think they're doing God a service by killing those who are actually following Christ. That the persecution, the hatred, the affliction will get so great and so steep that people are being revealed for who they really are. That in being a follower of Christ, a physical follower of Christ, it's not about our words, but it's about now our actions. Start to show, like Christ with the Pharisees, that other people are full of shit. You say you love Christ, but now when we read the commandments and we read the scriptures, and it's time to apply what the scripture says, you don't want to, a person doesn't want to do that. But they've been going to church for decades. They pray over everything. They only listen to the gospel music. And now we actually go back to start reading what the scripture actually says. Now they start getting offended and start getting mad, start getting angry about why aren't family traditions being kept? Why aren't worldly traditions being kept? Why aren't church traditions being kept? And as we keep getting to the scriptures, it keeps revealing people that you say you love God, but when we read these scriptures, you say you love Jesus, but when we read the scriptures about how we, a Christian, a true Christian should be acting, not a church Christian, not a religious Christian, but a biblical Christian should be acting, should be behaving, that now it reveals people to be hypocrites. Now it starts to reveal people for you're a hypocrite. If you love God and we're reading God's word, it should be no reason or no, it shouldn't be hard for you to adjust. It shouldn't be hard for there to be an adjustment, but the truth of people gets revealed, and this is where the hatred really starts to come out. This is where the afflictions and the persecutions will come out. This is where those teaching the biblical truth, now you're in a cult. You're wrong. You've been brainwashed. These people have a stronghold over their mind. There's something going on. That's where all this type of heat starts to come from. So Christ is telling us here in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that should not be revealed and hid that should not be known. That there's nothing going on that the Most High and Christ are not aware of. Remember this, brothers and sisters. Let me find the scripture real quick. In the Apocrypha, when we go to Ecclesiasticus or Syriac, that might be more easier comfort for you. I'm used to the Ecclesiasticus. In the Apocrypha, Ecclesiasticus, chapter 23, verse 19, it says this, that, let me go ahead and just pull it up. We start with 18. In Ecclesiasticus, chapter 23, verse 18 and 19, verse 18 says, a man that breaketh wedlock, saying thus in his heart, who seeth me? I am compassed about with darkness. The walls cover me, and nobody seeth me. What need I to fear? The Most High will not remember my sins. That people can be doing wrong and be doing maliciously and treating others bad. Like in the examples of a man breaking wedlock, because it's talking about a whoremonger, an adulterer who messes with other men's women. And this person might be getting away with it, and they're thinking that they're safe, they're covered, that ain't nothing going to happen to them. But in verse 19, it's going to give us some understanding about verse 18 and that mentality, that a person is doing things, and it seems like they're getting away with it. For the victim of the mistreatment, for the victims of the maliciousness. For the victims of the injustice that takes place, it can lead a person to really think that I've got no help. Nobody sees what's going on. And this person is just allowed to do whatever the hell they want to do, and there's no payback. There's no reparations. There's no restitution. There's no justice. So a person has a tendency to want to take matters in their own hands. A person has that tendency that, you know, I'm gonna stop this. That I'm gonna take matters in my own hands. So, but just like the person who feels they're getting away with it and nobody going to say nothing to them, but also not to the victims of that same thing. Ecclesiastes chapter 23, verse 19 tells us, such a man only feareth the eyes of men and knoweth not that the eyes of the Lord are 10,000 times brighter than the sun, beholding all the ways of men and considering the most secret parts. So there will be a time that when a person is being victimized, being persecuted for the word of God, for changing their behavior, for changing the way they worship to a biblical worship, to a biblical way of doing things, and the smoke and the heat that might come from that, and the feeling that no one sees what I'm going through. The scripture is saying what? God's eyes are 10,000 times brighter than the sun. He sees and is writing down everything. There is going to be justice. There is going to be justice. Right now, it's just our test. It's just your test. Are you going to do like this person and take matters to your own hands? Based on how you feel, in the same way that they're moving based on how they feel. Are you going to move based on how you feel? So now you will be held just as guilty as that person. So this, again, this is what Christ is telling us. Here in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 26. Let me pick up my notes. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that should not be revealed, and hidden that should not be known. Verse 27. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. Don't be afraid to speak the truth. You can't be afraid to speak the truth. And when I say the truth, not just the truth of our feelings, the truth of God's word. The truth of the scriptures. It says, don't be afraid to speak this because you're afraid of the offense. Afraid it's going to offend people. So I don't want to say nothing to them. I don't want to tell them what the scripture says because that's going to offend them. And now they may want to cause me harm. They may want to reject me. They may want to separate themselves from me. It says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. Don't be afraid to tell people. Don't be afraid to share scriptures and God's way with people. Don't be afraid of their reaction. And what you hear in the ear, that preachy upon the housetops, scream it loud. Let it be known. Put the words of God out there. Let the scriptures be heard. Verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Because in doing this is why I say don't be afraid, because people will get so angry that, yes, they might come with that type of rage and fury. They want to kill the messengers of God. That's why that saying came up. Don't hate the message, or don't kill the messenger. I'm just delivering you God's word. Why are you taking this so personal? And that's how many people take this when you start being about God's word, and you really are giving the scriptures. You really are giving not only the scriptures, understanding of the scriptures, there's going to be attacks. There's going to be attacks. And Christ is saying, if it goes to the far extreme, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. but rather fear him that is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't worry about them. If this is why you're going to feel like you can't speak what the scripture says, that you can't do what the scripture says, just don't fear their reaction. Worry about letting the Most High down. The one who can destroy not just your physical body, and you worry about the pain you might go through, you worry about the emotion you might go through, the separation anxiety. Don't worry about that. Worry about what God thinks. Who your body, people can afflict your body. Physical torture, like what Christ went through. There can be a physical torture, no doubt. But that doesn't mean that they can touch your soul. If the pain is that bad, the Most High will give you that escape. He'll pull your soul out the body. You'll die. You'll be unalive, as they say. The physical body can only take so much. But what's going on where your soul can now be touched? After death, your soul can be touched? And that's not a far-fetched notion. Let's go to 1 Ezra chapter 9, or 2 Ezra chapter 9, in the Apocrypha again. I'm sorry, 2 Ezra chapter 9 and verse 9. I'm in the Apocrypha. I'm in the book of 2 Ezra chapter 9 and verse 9. And I'm piggybacking off of the precept where Christ just tells us about, don't fear those who can kill the body, but rather fear him who can kill both the body and soul in hell. So now I'm going to 2 Ezra chapter 9 and verse 9 to help hopefully open this up and get some more understanding with this right here. 2 Ezra chapter 9 and verse 9. Says, then shall they be in pitiful case, which now have abused my ways. That the times will come that those that have abused the ways of the Most High in Christ, that have abused his ways, it says they're going to be in a pitiful case. And they that have cast them away despitefully shall dwell in torments. And those that have cast away God's ways despitefully, that as the scripture comes out, that they willfully go against the scriptures just to establish their own will, just to establish their own mindset. Yeah, I'm not going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to do what's in my head. And I don't care if you read me the Bible. I'm not dealing with that. I got my own belief. You got your belief. I'm doing it my way. And if you keep coming at me, we're going to have an issue. You keep showing me that Bible, there's going to be some issues and problems. Don't show me the Bible. Don't show me what the Bible says. Don't show me that I'm wrong. So they're going to despitefully throw away the warnings that they're being given. And now in verse 10, 2 Ezra chapter 9, verse 10. For such as in their lives have received benefits and have not known me. And brothers and sisters, this always scares me when I go over this scripture right here. That there's people in this world who have received benefits and God had nothing to do with it. Because the mentality is, if you get some type of benefit, first I like to thank God, because without God, I am nothing, and we can have nothing. You can say that, but that's not what the Bible says. For such as in their life have received benefits and have not known me. Remember, brothers and sisters, the temptation of Christ. Where Satan came to him and said, what? All this power will I give thee. All this power and fame will I give thee, if thou wilt bow down and worship me. For all these things are delivered into my hand, and I give to whomsoever I want to, if you'll bow down and worship me. So there's people who are enjoying benefits because of Satan, because Job 9:24, the earth is given to the hand of the wicked. That this present evil earth, Galatians chapter 1 verse 4, this present evil earth is given to Satan. So if you follow Satan, you please yourself, you be about yourself. It's all about you, who? Yeah. So it's all about you. You can receive benefits, and God ain't got nothing to do with it. Reading on, verse 11. Like, to give an example, you have a lot of with this LGBTQ madness, abominations that's taking place. RuPaul, how many TV shows does this abomination have? And how wealthy is he? She, what, it. There's no way it can be said that God is blessing that when God says that's an abomination. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. It tells us plain and clear. The woman should not put on, I'm misquoting it now, let me pull it up. And I don't want to pull it from 2nd Ezra, I want to make sure we keep that. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5 says, the woman shall not wear that which pertains unto a man. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are abominations to the Lord thy God. God, the transgender, transgressing, transvestite, God calls that an abomination. That's not a lifestyle. God calls that an abomination. So people can be participating in that lifestyle and receiving benefits, receiving wealth, receiving the joy of their hearts. And you got those benefits, and God has nothing to do with it. So coming back now to 2 Ezra chapter 9, verse 9, it says, then shall they be in pitiful case, which now have abused my ways, and they that have cast them away despitefully shall dwell in torments. Verse 10. For such as in their lives have received benefits and have not known me, and they that have loathed my law while they yet had liberty, and when as yet place of repentance was open unto them, understood not but despised it. That doing things that God said, let all things be done decently and in order. I don't care about God's order. I'm only going by my feelings. I'm a slave to my feelings. I'm a slave to my emotions. I'm not going to do it that way. If it comes to following Christ, and now it means that there's going to be a division in the family, that there's going to be a separation in the family because I'm following Christ. I'm following the biblical scriptures. I'm following Christ through the Bible. And now it's got some tension with me and the rest of my family. Okay. And a person's not willing to deal with that. Even when Christ said it was going to happen, as it starts to happen, no, I'm not willing to go ahead and throw in my family because they're the only ones that know me. That they're the only ones that care about me. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to betray what my mom says, because all she's been through. I'm not going to betray what my dad said, because all that he's been through. And yeah, he might not believe in the scriptures, but I know he loves me, so I can't let him down. I'm not going to let him down. Okay. Verse 11 says what? And they that have loathed my law. 2 Ezra 7, 9, verse 11. And they that have loathed my law while they had yet liberty, when there was a time to change. To now hear what the scripture says and to change. They had liberty. And when as yet place of repentance was open unto them. All right, now you're finding out what you're doing wrong in the eyes of God. Now it's time to repent. Reading on, it says, understood not. You understand that this is the time of liberty for us to change. Not to keep doing as we feel what comes to our own minds, but we have the liberty now to change, to repent. And it's telling us that there's going to be people who don't understand that, but despise it. Like, I'm tired of feeling a prisoner. I'm tired of feeling I just can't do what I want to do. That I look around me and I see everybody doing what they want to do and living high off the hog. And no, I'm not living this way no more. I'm going to finally go ahead and take matters in my own hands. I'm going to do for me. It's time for me to go ahead and do for me. Forget Christ and esteeming others better than myself. It's time for me to do for me. I'm tired of being put on the back burner. I'm tired of being last. I deserve to look out for me, since nobody else is. Since nobody sees what I'm going through, cool. Then that just means I got to go ahead and take matters in my own hands. That's the person despising what they're going through, not looking at what the life of Christ, not looking at what Christ went through, not looking at the example that Christ left us. Now reading on, verse 12, 2 Ezra chapter 9, verse 12. The same must know it after death by pain. But sister, again, that's one of the ones that to even try and think about what that means. How the hell is it that you have to, that you're not going to experience pain until after you die? That now it's your soul. Not your physical body. It's your soul. That to me is crazy. That to me is crazy. That you're not going to get your payback until after you physically die? So when Christ tells us, going back to Matthew chapter 10 now, going back to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28, and he says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Come on, y'all. Are not two sparrows, reading on verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. That two birds, two sparrows, some chicken, it's sold wherever. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. That the Most High is watching, is so particular and watching everything and knows everything that's going on. He knows when, he sees everything is the point. For us to get to a point where we feel like, and these thoughts do come up, brothers and sisters, no one sees what I'm going through. Nobody cares about what I'm going through. I need to comfort myself with drink, with smoking, binge watching TV, some people, it might be food. I'm going to be a foodie. I'm just going to eat. I'm a comfort eat until I just feel better. I'm going to be a glutton. I'm going to eat till I hurt myself. I'm a video game. I'm going to just play video games just to ease my mind. I'm going to find some comfort somewhere. I'm going to watch porn. I'm going to watch me a lot of porn. I'm going to smoke me a lot of weed. I'm going to do a lot of drinking. I'm going to watch a lot of porn. I'm going to be about me. I'm going to find some way of comforting myself. I'm going to remember how my life was before I came into the knowledge of the truth. I'm just going to surround myself with those things that where I can find me some comfort. Because it seems like no one cares what I'm going through. Verse 30, Matthew chapter 10, verse 30. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Yes, the Most I know is when a bird falls off, a baby falls off the nest. He's aware of it. He knows what's happening. And that baby bird that falls off the nest becomes the meal for the ant. Then the Most I need to take care of the ants also? Then they got to eat? He knows what he's doing. He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. And then Christ is telling us, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. You know, in the movies, you'll see in the movies where they say, you better not touch not one hair on her head. I swear to God, you touch one hair of her head. This is what Christ is saying. that the very hairs of our head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Continuing on, verse 32, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. A lot of times, especially from a church perspective, they'll just jump straight to the scripture and say, you got to confess God, Christ before men. And I've seen this trying to be applied. When I was in Miami, when I was living in Florida, with four of my son's mother, when I was living in Florida, we had a small apartment in Fort Lauderdale, and the school was in North Miami. And when the cars would be down, I had to take the bus. When the cars be down, because, you know, it does happen, I have to take the bus. And I remember in particular, I get on the bus, and at this one bus stop, every single day I was on the bus at this particular time, there'd be this man that would get on the bus. He'd pay his fare. He'd try to sit in the front, and then he would always stand up, and he would scream or say it rather loud, not screaming, he'd say it rather loud, Jesus Christ is Lord. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he would sit down, and he would have the most content look on his face, like he just really did something. That he confessed Jesus Christ in front of men. He did do that. And if you look at just Matthew 10:32, it would seem like, yeah, that's scripture. But if you don't have the context of all the chapter of Matthew 10, where Christ opened up warning us that, hey, the times will come that those that kill you are thinking they're doing God a service. And as we're going to keep reading, we're going to find out that the ones that he's talking about confessing to is the people that are closest to us, not complete strangers. Y'all remember, you know, Jerry Springer as he passed away here recently, or the Maury Povich show, or Jerry, what was that, the Richard Bay show, or any of them damn type of shows. Steve Bilko, Jerry Springer's security guard, had his own show of people going on there and acting complete idiots. People going there and acting like complete fools. It's easy to confess shit to a stranger. You even got to see them. That is rather easy, brothers and sisters. Let's be honest. That's why people can get on those shows and confess some of the most crazy of things that's going on. Like, and that's where the fights and stuff would start. Y'all remember that? Like, you going to bring me on national television in front of everybody and tell them this? You couldn't tell me this in private? Yeah, because they're strangers. I don't have to interact with you every single day. It's a one and done. I don't have to be around you. So I can tell you anything and keep it moving. But when you gotta confess these type of things and confess the reality of Christ to your loved ones who you know, who know you, who are entrenched in their traditions, entrenched in their false religions, and you don't see them every single day, the look of disappointment, where especially the ones that's closest to you, you can read their body language the best. The annoyance, the disappointment, the anger, the rolling of the eyes, the sucking of the teeth, like, here we go again? You can really pull the Bible out again? Is this where we're really going? And that was something to have an effect. But this is what Christ is talking about confessing to. Confessing Christ. We got to go through this. That's wrong. That's not how Christ did it. This is what the Bible says. Not just getting on a loudspeaker and screaming out, Jesus Christ is coming. He loves everybody. Repent. And you keep it moving? No. Verse 33. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But, verse 33, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Then with that denial, y'all, first he's warning us, fear not. This is going to happen. Going by all the way to the top of the chapter, Matthew chapter 10. Don't fear. You're going to be okay. And now don't be hesitant to confess the scriptures. Confess the word of God. In the midst of people being mad, being angry, being upset, especially the ones you love, the ones that's close to you. Verse 33. For whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 34. Listen, y'all. Verse 34. And Mashabah, also listen up. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Contrary to every Christmas carol, contrary to every religion that's out here, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. What's the sword used for, brothers and sisters? To kill. And who's saying this? Whose words were dictated and written down? Who the world calls Jesus Christ. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. I know for a lot of people this is shocking, and the normal reaction is, not my Jesus. That now that I'm following Christ, I'm in the scriptures, I'm turning my life around, yeah, everything around me is supposed to get more pleasant. But that's not what Christ is saying right here. Again, we're in the book of Matthew chapter 10, I'm in verse 35. And it says, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Against. Christ, I'm coming to cause variance. When we go look at the word, as we look at the word variance in the Webster's 1820 dictionary, looking up the word variance, it says, in law, it says an alteration of something formerly laid in a writ, or a difference between a declaration and a writ, and the deed on which it is grounded. So variance, in dealing with law, it says something, an alteration of something formerly laid. That Christ is coming to bring variance against things that people have been doing, traditions that we've been keeping, that he's coming to alter, to change something that's been laid down. So what we've been taught through religion, what we've been taught through society, Christ is coming to alter that to where it's going to cause families to separate, not come together, but to separate. to where it might bring out a sword. Definition number, let me which one is this? Definition number three, brothers and sisters. Definition number three for variance. Definition number three, difference that produces this or controversy, disagreement, dissension, discord, as in a mere variance may become a war. Without a spirit of condensation, there will be an everlasting variance. So Christ is saying, I'm come to set a man at variance with his father. Again, dealing with the definition of variance, a difference that produces dispute or controversy. But I know this goes so contrary to what we've been taught through pseudo-Christianity, what we've been conditioned to believe through pseudo-Christianity and straight up just lies that have no biblical foundation at all. As we read the Bible, though, Christ is telling us, and he's telling, I'm telling you, before it happens, before this happens, I'm telling you about it. Again, Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Verse 35. For I am come to set a man at variance, a difference that produces, what would this read? A difference that produces dispute or controversy. For I am come to set a man at variance, to cause disputes or controversy between a man and his father, and the daughter against her mother. Yes, there's going to be some disagreements. There's going to be some differences that's supposed to cause disputes and controversy between a daughter and her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. This is what Christ is saying he's coming to do, that this is part of his purpose. And when it starts to happen, we're not supposed to get offended. I'm losing my father. I'm losing my mother. The daughter-in-law is against the mother-in-law. The mother-in-law is against the daughter-in-law. Verse 36, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. The ones closest to you. Reading on. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He told us that this is going to happen before it happens. I'm just letting that sink in for a second, brothers and sisters. I really am. We're reading it, but a lot of people will be offended and like, no, I'm not doing. Nope. If my mama don't like this, it's funny how. You can show people the scriptures, and one of the first things they'll say is, well, I got to check on my dad first. My dad's a reverend. My dad's a pastor. You're reading them what the scripture says. You have them read what the Bible says, and they say, no, I got to ask the dad first. No, I got to check on my mama, see what she, you know, my mama says that that's not right. because according to gospel hymn number whatever, what you read in the Bible, that the Bible don't say that. The hell you mean? That's not what God meant. Then what did he mean? Or the classic, that's not my Jesus. My Jesus won't want me to go through these things. My Jesus knows how my life has been and what I've been through. So why would my Jesus want me to go through that type of suffering? Why would my Jesus want me to be separated in that a man's foes to be neighbor's own household? Why would my Jesus won't do that, even though we can read it here in black and white? Matter of fact, as we're here, Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. I want to look in my comparison Bibles and see what some other versions of Matthew chapter 10, verse 36 says and some of these other versions of other Bibles. All right. In the AFV, and the AFV is the AFV is a faithful version of the Bible, the AFV, and it says, a man's enemies shall be those of his own household, okay? And the in the Bible in basic English, from Matthew chapter 10, verse 36, it says, and a man shall be hated by those of his house. For following Christ, the biblical Christ, a man should be hated by those of his house. That's in the Bible of Basic English. In the Bevan Study Bible, in the Bevan Study Bible, it says, a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Looking at some of the other versions. Ooh, the CEV, what is the CEV? The CEV is the, in the Contemporary English Version, in the Contemporary English Version on the CEV, it says, your worst enemies will be in your own family. Good Lord. That's how this is translated in the CEV. The Common English Version of the Bible. Let's see. In the Darby Bible, it says, and they of his household shall be a man's enemies. In the ESV, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. In the ESV Plus, same thing. In exegesis, what is this? The EERB. The exegesis Ready Research Bible. In the exegesis Ready, a study Bible, Ready Research Bible says, and a man's or a human's foes shall be they of his own household. In the Good News Bible, it says, your worst enemies will be the members of your own family. That's a Good News Bible. Your worst enemies will be the members of your own family. Good Lord. What is this, sir? In the literal study version, if I'm saying this right, it says, a person's enemies will include members of his own family. A man's foes should be David's own household. A man's foes should be David's own house. Wow. In the LITV is the literal translation of the Holy Bible. In the LITV, the literal translation of the Holy Bible, it says, one's hostile to the man shall be those of his own house. Those hostile to the man shall be they of his own house. And then they have a quote from Micah chapter 7, verse 6. And enemies of a man are those of his house. A man's foes shall be those of his own household. And the enemies of a man are those of his household. I got to post this one. Yeah, I'm putting these on Facebook, y'all. You know, I'm going to do it like this. I'll post that later. I'm going to finish this class up. Somebody says, I'm reading this. We're not supposed to be offended when these things happen. We're not supposed to be so shocked and bewildered. Like, damn, why is this happening? Why is it that the ones closest to me are doing this or acting like this? Because it's written. This is supposed to strengthen us in God's word when we see these things happening. This is why it says, brothers and sisters, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Reading on, brothers and sisters. Reading on. This is Matthew chapter 10, verse 36. And a man's foes shall be they of his household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 40. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. To be afraid to give the scriptures to our family, our household, because of their reaction, they're not being given opportunity to receive Christ. Because of fear of their reaction. Not wanting to let them down. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. He that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. Verse 41. He that receiveth a prophet. And if we're keeping this in context, brothers and sisters, are you seeing that he's in this whole discussion that Christ is having? He's talking about a man's household becoming his enemies, a man's household becoming his foes. This isn't talking about strangers. It's talking about those closest to him. And that he that receiveth you, receiveth me. When we give them Christ's words, that's their opportunity to make a choice to do what Christ says. It's also going to be, that is their choice. That's their opportunity to make the right decision. But I'm going to hold back saying anything so that they cannot make the right decision. That's cruel. Because I'm afraid of how they're going to look at me, how they're going to treat me. Verse 40, he that receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. That if they can see, when our family members can get to the point where they see this ain't personal, but this is what the book says, they can receive reward also. They'll be recognized. that this ain't just your personal opinion. This is what the scripture says. And they receive it like that? That this is the word of God? That somebody was ready to confess the words of God? The words of the Most High in Christ? To give them an opportunity to repent? Verse 42. Matthew chapter 10, verse 42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, someone who's just being a student. Now, I'm not a master teacher. I ain't an expert at this, but I'm sharing with you these scriptures that I've got. I'm still a student. I'm still learning. But they help you out. It says, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. From there, brothers and sisters, let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16, verse 23 through 28. Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. And he says, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Now, this is Christ, and we've been over this before, but just to highlight this and bring it up now in this here, and understanding the feelings of Christ, that Peter was like, no, this is right after Christ announced that he's got to go to Jerusalem and be put to death, be betrayed, be hated on, and be put to death. And Peter's like, nah, we ain't going to let you go through that, because, hell, if we're following you, no, we ain't not going to let that happen. But listen to what Christ is saying here in Matthew chapter 16, verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, yes, Peter, yes, Saint Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Christ is telling Peter right here. Obviously, it wasn't forever. But he's telling Peter right here, you are an offense to me. Why? For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You're not thinking about what the Most High wants. You think about how men should react. You're not thinking about what the Most High thinks. You're reacting like men react, all your emotions. How people react. All your emotions. And not thinking about, okay, but what does the Most High want? So Christ told him, you are an offense to me. Verse 24. Then said Jesus, or Yahweh Shai, unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself and take up this burden and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verse 28, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till the Son of Man come, till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. There's going to be some payback, but the payback might not come until Christ actually gets back here. But I want to look at some of these verses here. Matthew chapter 16, and verse 24. I want to go to some of these comparison Bibles. My comparison Bible right here. This is the Blazers Read Through. In the AFV, in a Faithful Version Bible, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says, and Jesus said unto his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and let him take up his cross and follow me. In the ESV, it says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself. I'm sorry, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Oh, the Bible in Basic English, brothers and sisters. Check this one out. The Bible in Basic English from Matthew chapter 15 and verse 24. 15 and verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him give up all and take up his cross and come after me. Damn. In the Beeman Study Bible, the Beeman Study Bible from Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it translates as this. It says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Checking out some more. Hold on, y'all. The CEV. The Contemporary English Version. The Contemporary English Version says this. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to be my followers, you must forget about yourself. You must take up your cross and follow me. Damn. In the Darby Study Bible, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and keep and take up his cross and follow me. In the EERB, in the Exegesis Ready Research Bible, it says, then Jesus or Yeshua said unto his disciples, if any man will or willeth to come after me, let him utterly deny himself and take up his cross, take up his stake and follow me. In the Good News Bible, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you want to come with me, you must forget yourself. Carry your cross and follow me. Ooh, in the, what is this? The ISV, the International Standard Version. The International Standard Version, that's what this is. The ISV is the International Standard Version. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me continually. I'm feeling cut, y'all. I'm feeling cut. I'm guilty of a lot of not doing a lot of this right here, but of not obeying, of letting thoughts get to me, of letting things get to me. I'm guilty. Good Lord, I'm guilty. Let's finish this up. Let's finish this up for today. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 31. Let's go now to the book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 31. The book of Mark, chapter 8, verse 31 through 38. And it reads, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." So Christ is, if y'all remember, this is right after Christ asked the disciples. Remember, he sent the disciples out two by twos into every city he would come. So he did that, and now they're at a point where they've all came back together, and Christ is getting a report from them about what he came to those cities and what happened. And everybody's just giving a muster. Everybody's mustered together, the disciples, and they're all talking and telling Christ about what happened, what was going on. And Christ asked them, "So who do people say I am?" And he said, "Well, in this city, they thought you were Jeremiah. In this city, they thought you was Elijah come back. In this city, they thought you was definitely one of the prophets." And Christ said, "All right, cool, cool, cool. But who do you say I am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ. You are the Son of God. You are the Christ." And Christ told him, "Seriously, tell no man about that, because I got it." And now we're picking up in verse 31. And he began to teach them, saying that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. Verse 32. "And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him." So Peter, you can imagine, I mean, with the type of relationship, Peter began to rebuke Christ. Verse 33, "But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross and follow me. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever, therefore, shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." How to say that, brothers and sisters? Real talk? Real talk? All right, brothers and sisters, I'm going to take this opportunity now. We're going to shut today's class down with this right here. Thank you, guys, for tuning in. Hopefully you did get something out of this, and not just fear and dread and gloom, but also hopefully an empowering. And I'll say empowering, that if you're suffering these things and going through these things, know that you're not going through it alone, and that Christ went through the same things. That your own family is rising hard against you. Your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, they're coming at you hard for you making the change, for you following the scriptures, following Christ in the Most High, and you catch some smoke. Let this empower you to keep doing what you're doing. as a man's post, we live in his own household. Christ told us it's going to happen. I've come to set the father, the man against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. If you're going through these things, then be strengthened, brothers and sisters. Be strengthened. But if it's a little that timid, I really don't tell them because I know how my mama's going to act. So I don't really want to give them no scriptures. I know how my dad's going to act. So I can't really share him what God says. I can share with him every other secret that's going on in my house, but I can't share with him with the words of God because I know how he is. Brothers and sisters, I hope we're reading. Again, so with that, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to shut today's class down with that right there. Today is Monday. Today is Monday. So please, I invite you to please check out on YouTube tonight. We have several classes being going on live tonight, starting at 7 p.m. ISBHBK San Antonio, ISBHBK Houston. You can watch them tonight on YouTube starting at 7 p.m. You're invited to check them out. Go by the school. Go check the schools out. All right? And don't forget to help support these businesses to help keep the schools running, to help keep the schools up and running. Please join us tomorrow. Here on Blog Talk at 10 a.m. Central Standard Time for Tuscapot Tuesdays, as he will be taking the helm tomorrow for Tuscapot Tuesdays. And I know he started his show FYI Thursdays, Tuscapot FYI Thursdays, but we'll check on him because he's got a surgical procedure coming up. So we'll check in with him and see if he, and I'm sure he'll let us know tomorrow, if he'll be able to handle or be in a mental place where he can do his class on Thursday. If not, I might do it, but we'll see. So with that, for ISBHBK, Bible Talk, thank you for listening, and shalom.
Heal Israel.